Hi, I'm Sachin, and today I'm going to talk about information slicing, a technique to do anonymous communication using unreliable overlays. This is joint work with Jeff Cohen and my advisor, Dina Khatabi. But before I get into the technical part, let me tell you about a problem I've been facing recently. I'm a big believer in my freedom of expression, and the way I do it is by uploading movies anonymously to people in the internet. But recently, the big bad guys just won't let me do it. They have shown up at my doorstep multiple times and shown me cease and desist notices. So now, I like my freedom of expression, but I don't want to go to jail for it. So the question I'm wondering is, can I upload these movies anonymously? Some of you in the audience may be wondering, why don't you use Freenet, dude? But let me ask you this. How many people here use Freenet? Didn't think so. So Freenet actually has very few users. And the reason is it's difficult to use. One of the problems is when, for example, I want to upload a movie to Freenet, I also have to exchange keys for that movie with every destination who is interested in that movie. Now, I want to upload these movies to random people in the internet, and I don't want to go to every person and exchange keys with them. And even if I knew these people, I might not trust them enough to exchange keys. So wouldn't it be nice if we could retrofit existing popular peer-to-peer overlays, let's say, for example, BitTorrent or Kazaa, with the capability of uploading movies anonymously? In fact, let me generalize this problem. Can we leverage existing popular peer-to-peer overlay networks to send confidential anonymous messages without using any public keys? Overlays are perfect for anonymous communication. They have thousands of nodes, and there is already plenty of traffic flowing between these nodes. So there's lots of covered traffic to hide anonymous communication in. Second, the membership of these overlays is very diverse. You have nodes from all over the world, and these nodes are unlikely to collude with each other. And finally, their membership is very dynamic. Nodes come and leave all the time, so it's very hard to track who is part of this overlay. But overlays suck too. Nodes don't have any public keys, so you can't use traditional anonymous communication techniques. Second, these nodes are not very trustworthy. You cannot assume a trusted third party to authenticate these nodes. And the blessing I just talked about, the dynamic membership, is also a curse. Nodes fail all the time, so they are very unreliable. And you have to address this if you want to build anonymous communication in these overlays. In this talk, I'm going to present information slicing, a technique to get message confidentiality, source, and destination anonymity without using any public keys. And information slicing is going to be extremely resilient to churn in these overlay networks. So let's look at these problems one by one. First, message confidentiality without keys. So by this, we mean we want to send messages to the destination such that only the destination knows the content of the message, and no one else in the network knows what the message contents are. So here's the simple proposal. Suppose we can split the messages to random pieces and send these random pieces along node disjoint paths. So here's the message. I split it into two fragments, and then I randomize them by multiplying it with the random 2x2 matrix. Once I do that, I get pseudo-random strings, which look completely unlike the original fragments of the message. Now, I take these two fragments, the two pieces actually, along with the corresponding rows of the matrix which created those random pieces, and I create two disjoint paths using nodes from the overlay network leading to the destination. And I send these pieces along these two disjoint paths. Now, once the destination gets these two pieces, he's trying to recover the original message sent by the source. So he has these two pieces, and he reconstructs the matrix equation which created these pseudo-random strings. So there is the original random matrix. He inverts it and multiplies it with the pseudo-random strings he just received. Once he does that, he gets back the original message fragments. And then he's home free. He can just concatenate these things and get back the original message. The key takeaway points of this technique is that even if an attacker inside the network gets all but one piece of the original message, he still cannot decode and recover the original message. But in contrast, by design, the destination gets all the pieces of the message. So he can decode and recover the original message. And that's it. This is how you get message confidentiality without using any public keys. But what about the second problem? How do you get anonymity without using any keys? Before I go into the protocol, first let me give you a high-level overview of anonymous communication systems. Typically, the whole communication phase is split into two parts. First, you set up the routes. This is where a node learns who is next hop is and who is previous hop is. And once the routes are set up, you transmit data on these routes. Data transmission is very simple. You just follow the routes which were just set up. So in this talk, I'm going to focus on the route setup phase. All right. So how do we set up anonymous routes? So let's consider this proposal. Suppose we could ensure that each node knows who his next hop is, and no one else in the anonymous network I'm setting up knows the identity of the next hop of this node. This is true for every node in the overlay network. So if you ensure this, every node knows only his next hop and previous hop. And this is good enough to get anonymity, because no one knows who the actual sender of the message is and who the actual destination of the message is. So if we tell each node the identity of its next hop in a confidential message, we get source and destination anonymity. So the idea is to build anonymity from confidentiality. But wait a minute, we just saw how to send confidential messages without using any public keys. So we can just reuse that trick to build anonymity. So let's look at a straw man design of this simple idea. Here's an overlay node, the blue node, and we want to tell the blue node the identity of its next hop using confidential messages. So we split that information into two random pieces and send those pieces along disjoint paths using these two gray nodes. But remember, we also have to tell the gray node the identity of his next hop in a confidential fashion. So we split that information into two paths each, and then use these four green nodes to send them their information. Now again, you have to tell the green nodes who their next hop is in a confidential fashion. So again, you split their information. And if you keep doing this, you need an exponential number of nodes to send these messages. So we have a problem with this simple design. If you do it this way, you need an exponential number of nodes. Clearly, that's not scalable. The solution is to reuse nodes to send pieces without giving them too much information. Let me explain what that means. So here are four nodes, and we are trying to tell Z and R who their next hops are. So that information has been split into two pieces each, IZ1 and IZ2 for Z, and IR1 and IR2 for R. So let's see how we can use V and W to send this information to Z and R. The simple approach would be to send both the pieces belonging to Z through V and send both the pieces belonging to R through W. But this is no good, because now V and W have enough information to know who Z and R's next hops are. So instead, we can reuse V to send one piece to Z and one piece to R. So he's going to forward pieces belonging to different nodes. And similarly, you can reuse W to send one piece to Z and one piece to R. And the key property here is V and W are forwarding pieces belonging to different nodes, and neither of them on their own have enough information to know who Z and R's next hops are. So the intuition is you can reuse nodes to send multiple pieces as long as the pieces belong to different messages. And this is what This is the principle we are going to use to build anonymity in our system. So let me explain the whole protocol through a slightly bigger example. So here's the source. And we assume that the source has access to multiple IP addresses. For example, I have an IP address at home and an IP address at work. And I'm sure many of you in the audience have the same situation. Now, the source picks a few nodes at random from the overlay network and organizes these nodes into stages of two nodes each. He also places the destination randomly in one of these stages. In this case, the destination happened to be in the last stage. So now let's look at how the source can confidentially tell each node in this network who their next hop is. So first, let's look at the simplest possible example, V. So we need to tell V that his next hops are Z and R. We split that information into two pieces and send them along these disjoint edges leading to V. So that's great. V knows who his next hops are. But the point to notice here is that even though the source is sending this information to V, V itself does not know that the previous stage belongs to the source. The previous stage looks like any other stage to it. Now, V knows his information, and the source also sends V one piece belonging to Z and one piece belonging to R. That's not enough for V to decipher Z and R's next hops. He repeats the same process for W. So W gets his next hops, as well as one piece belonging to Z and one piece belonging to R. Now V and W have these pieces belonging to different nodes, Z and R. They just forward them to Z and R. And if you trace the pieces of information for Z back to the source, look at those red edges, you see that those pieces have followed disjoint paths to Z. So only Z has enough information to decode it, and no one else in the network can decode Z's information. So we confidentially told Z who is next hopper. And similarly for R. And the source repeats the same process to construct the entire graph. And one of the key points here is that you have managed to reuse V and W without revealing them too much info. And that's it. This is how you get anonymity without using any keys. So you set up the entire anonymous graph without needing any access to public keys. The example I've shown you is for three stages and two nodes in each stage. But the protocol generalizes to an arbitrary number of nodes and an arbitrary number of stages. So we have checked off two things on our list, message confidentiality and anonymity. What about the third problem? How do we deal with churn in these overlay networks? Before we get into the specifics, let's see what is the fundamental problem churn causes. So the source just set up this graph. Now, what if suddenly node B departs in this graph? So what will happen is all the information that was flowing out of V is going to be lost. And the destination D, which was earlier receiving two pieces, now gets only one piece. So that's not enough for the destination to decode and recover the original message. So the main problem with churn is you have data loss. And the typical solution to address data loss is to just add redundancy to the original data. In this proposal, we are going to try and use coding to efficiently add this redundancy. So let's see how the source can add redundancy. So how do we do source coding? Remember, we had two message fragments earlier, and we were splitting it into two random pieces. Instead, now we'll split it into three pieces by multiplying it with this larger 3x2 matrix to create those three pieces, I1, I2, and I3. And the nice property of these pieces is that if you take any two out of these three pieces, it is sufficient to recover the original information. Here, for example, I've picked the last two pieces. And that's enough to recover the original fragments of the message. And in this case, we have added a redundancy of one extra piece for two message fragments. So you added 50% redundancy. Once you have done this, you can tolerate the earlier node failure. So you can send those three pieces along this bigger graph, and even though node B fails, the destination still gets two pieces, which are sufficient for him to recover the original message. So with source coding, in this example, you can tolerate one node failure in the network. But what if a second node fails? What if, for example, here Z fails? So now, again, the information flowing out of him is also lost, and the destination is back to square one. He's only now getting one piece, and he can no longer decode the original message. So one naive solution is to add more redundancy at the source. But as we just said, for every node failure, you have to add one extra piece. And clearly, this will not scale as more and more nodes fail. So instead, can we do something smarter? Let's focus on a particular node here. Let's focus on this node R, which is sending information to the destination. So due to the upstream node failure, due to node V's failure, R is now getting only two pieces instead of three pieces. And because of that, he can only send out two pieces. The redundancy which the source had added initially has been destroyed due to a node failure inside the network. But if you think about it, these two pieces are in fact simple linear combinations of the original message fragments. So the source can take these two pieces and create a new linear combination to regenerate redundancy inside the network. So for example, here he can simply add these two pieces to create a new linear combination of the message fragments and create a third piece, which he can now forward to three downstream nodes instead of the earlier two pieces he was forwarding. So he has managed to regenerate redundancy which was lost inside the network. And now this can tolerate downstream node failures. And this technique is called network coding. With network coding, now you can tolerate one node failure in every stage. Contrast this with source coding, where you could tolerate one node failure inside the entire network. Now your ability to tolerate failures has increased. And this technique actually generalizes. Not only can you take simple additions as linear combinations, you can take random linear combinations of the fragments you're getting. And you can generalize this to any number of pieces of information a node is getting. In fact, to make the general statement, if you have added k extra pieces of redundancy to your original message, with network coding, you can tolerate k failures in every stage. But with source coding, you can only tolerate k failures in the entire network. And this is it. This is how you get churn resilience. So we have solved the three problems we set out to: confidentiality, anonymity, and churn resilience. Let's actually see how this works in practice. First, let me explain the evaluation environment for you. We have implemented information slicing in Python, and it has been evaluated both in simulation and on Planet Lab. We evaluate three metrics here in the talk: anonymity, performance, and churn resilience. There are more results in the paper. And we evaluate each metric against the optimal existing baseline. So first, let's look at anonymity. Anonymity is actually a very hard thing to measure in practice. So we evaluate anonymity by using simulations on large overlays of 10,000 nodes. Now, attackers are placed randomly in this simulated network, and they are quite powerful. They can control nodes, snoop on the edges coming to these nodes and leaving them, and also collude together to discover the identity of the source and the destination. And we compare information slicing with SHOM mixes, which are in some sense the optimal baseline for these schemes. The way we measure anonymity is through entropy. Intuitively, entropy measures information leakage. So for example, here, if the anonymity is 1, there is no information leakage. The source and the destination are completely anonymous. If anonymity is 0, the attacker knows completely the identity of the source and the destination. But if you pick a point in between, for example, if anonymity is 0.75, this attacker knows a quarter of the bits of the source's identity. So if the source has a 32-bit IP address, he knows 8 bits. So first, here are the results for source anonymity. On the x-axis is the fraction of attacking nodes in the simulated overlay. And the y-axis is the corresponding evaluated anonymity. The comparison is between information slicing and SHOM mixes. As you can see, information slicing achieves anonymity comparable to SHA-MXs. It's slightly lower, but it's comparable. If you pick a particular point, for example, if 30% of the nodes in the network are attackers, the loss in anonymity is only around 0.1. So information slicing is revealing around 3 bits more of the source's IP address when compared to SHA-MXs. But given that information slicing is such a simple protocol, it does not assume any public keys, it does not assume a trusted third party, the anonymity is pretty good. Now, next we look at churn resilience. So you cannot compare information slicing's churn resilience with SHA-MXs. It's not actually a practical deployed system. So we compare it against the practical variant of SHA-MXs, onion routing. But to compare it directly wouldn't be fair, because onion routing was never built to handle node churn. So we modify onion routing to also use redundancy using source coding. And the way to think of it is to think of onion routing along multiple paths, but having redundancy along these paths. So it can tolerate node failures on these paths. And the metric we evaluate against it is what is the probability of successfully sending an anonymous message with both these protocols, given a particular amount of redundancy that was added. Here are the results, simulation results for this case. On the x-axis is the amount of redundancy that was added to both schemes. And on the y-axis is the corresponding probability of successfully sending an anonymous message with information slicing and compared to onion routing with source coding. As you can see, information slicing achieves much higher churn resilience, much higher probability of success when compared to the modified onion routing. And the intuition really is network coding. Once a redundancy is lost in onion routing with source coding, it cannot be regenerated. But with information slicing, you can regenerate that redundancy inside the network by taking these linear combinations. So that allows it to tolerate many more node failures inside the network, correspondingly leading to a higher probability of success. Now we turn to the implementation results using PlanetLab overlay. We again evaluate the same thing, the churn resilience of information slicing, and compare it to the modified onion routing scheme. The x and the y-axis are the same. The x-axis is the added redundancy, and the y-axis is the probability of successfully completing a transfer. The results are consistent with the simulation results. Information slicing achieves much higher probability of successfully completing the transfer when compared to onion routing with source coding. And the intuition is again exactly the same. It's simply network coding. You can handle many more node failures due to network coding when compared to traditional source coding. Finally, anonymous communication systems take a lot of flack because they tend to be not that usable in practice. So does information slicing also tend to be not very useful in practice? So let's look at what throughput numbers information slicing can achieve. So here, I show you throughput numbers from local network experiments and PlanetLab experiments. And the setting is we organize nodes into stages. The number of stages is being varied. And there are two nodes in each stage. And we compare information slicing with simple onion routing. So as you can see, the numbers are visually obvious. Information slicing achieves higher throughput than onion routing. And the reason is because there are two nodes in each stage, you essentially have parallel paths leading to the destination. So you get higher throughput with information slicing when compared to onion routing. To conclude, I have presented a new technique to enable anonymous communication in peer-to-peer overlays without using any keys. And our protocol, information slicing, provides confidentiality by using node disjoint paths, low-cost anonymity by reusing nodes smartly inside the network, and finally, churn resilience by employing network coding. Thanks, and I'll take questions.
Hi, Petros Paniatis, Intel Research. So I really enjoy the paper. I think it's a little fun. It's almost like magic. One thing that you point out in the paper that is sort of interesting is that everything can work smoothly without keys as long as an entire stage can be collected by the same adversary. And one big difference between onion routing and what you're talking about is that no keys to compromise. Therefore, if someone is in the middle, they really will know what's going on. If you're talking about overlay nodes, where you don't really know what the physical routing links are in between, don't you also need some notion of link disjointness in your paths, physical IP link disjointness for this to work?
So you can be smart about how you pick your nodes in the overlay net. For example, you could read BGP routing tables and make sure that the paths you pick belong to different ASs in different countries. And they are very extremely unlikely that all the links in a crossing a particular stage go through the same physical link. Now, it's very hard to get physical link level information about the internet. But with this simple idea of like picking nodes based on their BGP routing tables, you can ensure that it's very unlikely that some attacker will get access to one link and be able to compromise everything.
Günster at Cornell University. I have one comment and one question. You mentioned or you likened the information gained as measured by the entropy measure to figuring out, say, the first couple of bits of the IP address. I'd like to point out that that might be a bit incorrect because what you're really figuring out there is as a fraction of the nodes in the system, not as a fraction of the naming space of the system. So you could make the IP space. If we were using IPv6, you wouldn't be. It'd be different. So with that aside, I'd like to point out also that you mentioned that mixes are optimal in some sense. They actually provide very low anonymity, and their anonymity goes down the higher the churn occurs in the system. So the question, if you will, is have you looked at what happens to the anonymity of the senders and receivers as there's churn in the system?
Yes. So in fact, there are results in the paper where we look at anonymity in the system traded off versus the amount of added redundancy to handle node churn. And as we show, there is some trade-off. As you add more redundancy, there is slightly lower anonymity. But you can pick the right parameters, the number of nodes in each stage and the length of the stage, such that you get the anonymity you want while adding the amount of churn necessary to handle node failures.
Hi, Devakar Gupta, UC San Diego. So I had one low-level question and one sort of high-level question. So in your last graph where you're measuring throughput at each stage, exactly what's the experiment setup? Are you trying to push data as fast as possible, or are you transferring a large file? Is it some kind of paste communication?
So the throughput actually is measured at the destination because that's the number which you care about. What is the throughput that the destination is getting? And we are trying to push as much data as fast as possible.
Okay. And then in the beginning of the talk, you mentioned that wouldn't it be great if we could incorporate something like this in an existing P2P substrate like BitTorrent? So, you know, once you've described this, how do you actually envision it being incorporated in one of these systems?
Yeah, so you're right. This is one part of the picture of this overall system, which we are actually working on right now. But one simple straw man design, which I can give you right now is, okay, so create a rendezvous point. So where users, people who want movies, register interest saying, okay, I'm interested in this movie. They're not saying anything, I'm downloading this illegally or legally or whatever. They just say, I'm interested in this movie. And people who are willing to anonymously upload it, just read up that list and anonymously upload to these destinations.
Right, but I mean, like, don't you need information about which nodes actually exist in the network before you, I mean, you have to set up the anonymous routes first.
Sure,
right?
So you have been using, for example, BitTorrent client for a while now. So you have downloaded lots of other stuff from people. So you have a collection of IP addresses you have downloaded things from already in the past. So you can just reuse those nodes to set up your anonymous graph.